Hey there. Good day to you. Welcome to Talk Back Live. And we're going to have a really good show for you today. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure go to our YouTube page and subscribe and like Talk Back Live with Gloria. Hey, and be sure and write your comments, questions. I've got a very special guest for you today, Chancellor Kay Jackson, all the way from the ATL. He is a very successful author right now, the number one selling author on Amazon. Chancellor Kay Jackson is my special guest today, and he's going to talk about an experience that he had over in Beijing, China. His book is titled 14 Days in Beijing, and we're going to just let him loose and talk about his novel. And so we want you to don't forget, if you've got a question for a special guest today, Chancellor Kay Jackson, please put it in the chat. We'll be sure that he's able to answer that question for you. And thank you for tuning in to Talk Back Live. Good to be with you today. Okay, so Mr. Jackson, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Blessings and balance to you, Keith, and everybody that's tuning in right now. I appreciate y'all for have me on. So yeah,
thank you. It's good to have you. I understand you're in Atlanta. How's the weather today there in the ATL?
Oh, it's pretty warm. Still pretty warm. So, you know what I'm saying? Definitely enjoying. It's cool though. You know what I'm saying? 71 degrees, not too hot, not too, you know what I'm saying, cold. So it's really the perfect weather, especially football. It's football season. It's perfect football weather. You know what I mean? So
exactly. Football season is right. Football season has kicked off. It's the games, I think, on tomorrow will be the fifth week of the football season. So we're all excited about that, all the football fans out there. Good to have you today to talk about your number one selling Amazon novel, 14 Days in Beijing. I wanted to kind of share with the viewers out there what some of the folks are saying about your book, okay? This is a review off of Amazon, and it says, although this book was totally unlike the novels I've read, the story kept me engaged. It moved slow with less action than I prefer, but there were no telling what would take place next. And I liked the character enough that I wanted to know. The writing itself was an easy read, a nice flow with a bit of Chinese thrown in for flavor. I applaud the author for writing an interesting book on such a unique happenstance. It felt real, and using the present tense added to that feeling of going on right now. The protagonist maintained his cool no matter the circumstance, yet I felt the awfulness of his circumstance, his cool, even in the horrendous circumstances that came up. That was one of your top reviews there on Amazon. So let's just dig right on in. Tell us about the book and how it came to be. Let's start with, I guess, your visit over there in Beijing. I understand you're a teacher, you're an educator, and that you made the trip over into Beijing, China, because of a teaching position that you were offered. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. I landed my first job after I graduated college in 2018 out there. And I was teaching English to children as young as 3 years old all the way up to 14.
Okay, so you were offered a teaching position over in Beijing. Was that the first time you were ever offered a position overseas?
Yes, and this was the first job to tell me yes after 8 months of applying and interviewing, getting flown out to various positions, various companies. The first place to tell me yes on the other side of the world. Prior to that, I was mainly applying for job corporate positions here in America. Everybody kept telling me no. It was, oh, you lack the experience, da 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 da. It's like, y'all knew that when y'all saw my resume when I submitted it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? But hey, to each his own, for sure, for sure. I just took that sign as something better in store for me. So just keep pushing, keep searching. And I'm saying you're gonna find what it is that's meant for you, and that's where it was, Beijing, China.
Beijing, China. So, what are you an educator of? What's your teaching subject?
Well, in China it was ESOL, English as a second language, English as a foreign language. You know what I'm saying? So, like, how we learn Spanish and French here growing up, over there English is, you know what I'm saying, that's their foreign language. So that's why I was just teaching kids how to speak English. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much it. And I still do that, and as well as PE, and I do English as well, just traditional English. Yeah, it's pretty flexible, honestly.
Pretty flexible. Okay, that sounds interesting. So you got an offer to come over, to go over to Beijing and to teach English as a second language. Great. So this actually, and this book is based on a story that happened in 2019, correct? So that happened a few years ago. got the offer, you accept it, went through all of that, all the credentials and everything that you needed to do. You get over there, you're staying in what, a hotel?
Yeah, they put us up in a hotel for the, so I came in with like a recruiting class. So it was like 28 of us. We all got recruited around the same time. So we all entered Beijing, China on October 10th and 11th. And they put us up in this hotel for 2 weeks. And within that 2 weeks, we did our training for the actual job we were going to be performing, as well search for apartments. We had to find our own apartments and stuff. So that was interesting. You know what I'm saying? Going through the whole real estate process in a completely different country. That was very, very interesting. But I ended up finding an apartment on the east side of Beijing in Qingnanlu. And it's the business district of Beijing. So I'm in a sector with folks that got that moolah. You feel me?
But, I feel you.
Yeah. So, but it was a great location. My job is literally, I could walk up my apartment complex and look at the 14th floor humongous mall across the street. And that's what my job was. So it's like, it was very convenient, beautiful area. The people were, man, harmonious. It was very nice. I miss it finally, honestly. I miss China a lot. It was quite the experience, but yeah, that's
you know, okay. So you actually went over with another group of teachers, educators.
Essentially, yeah, we all came in at the same time. Now, none of us, some had teaching backgrounds. Vast majority of the people did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to qualify for the job, there weren't many requirements. As long as you have a bachelor's degree, no matter what your degree is in. Clean background and your
I would think you'd have to have a clean background, sure. So
it's like really
okay. So you go over with another group of educators and first time overseas, correct? Is that your first time overseas teaching?
Well, it is my first time overseas. I've been to London twice. I've been to the Bahamas three times. But you know what I'm saying? This is my first time ever like moving and living overseas versus just I'm going to be over here for a few days or, you know what I'm saying, a couple weeks. No, I'm actually over.
Right. Right.
It's the first for sure.
Okay. So I imagine you're excited to be there. You're on the other side of the world. And you, like you say, you're in the business district there in China, in Beijing. And imagine that's pretty exciting just to experience new food, new culture, things like that. That's got to be exciting in itself. And you're hanging out. You guys are, you know, just kind of take it in the moment. And so take us through the process. Take us through the time frame. You get over there. How long have you been over there before any incident happened? Were you there for a month, couple months?
Okay, so yeah, my contract was set for a year and I only ended up doing 6 months total when it was all said and done. And prior to my last 14 days in China, the previous 5 months, absolutely, absolutely harmonious. Like the best experience I've ever experienced in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like the people, amazing. You know what I'm saying? Active Chinese people, very, very cool. Best customer service I ever received. I can't sugarcoat that. I'm talking about top of the line customer service.
Tell us about that. What do you mean?
I mean, just like these people go above, like you go to a restaurant or use your restaurant as for an example. Your server, they're gonna go up, especially seeing a person of color in their establishment. We're rare commodities. So it's like, oh, we got foreigner in here? Oh, and they coming back frequently? So it's like, okay, this is more of a marketing aspect on their end. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? We got foreigners come to our restaurant, they enjoy our food, and they come frequently. Oh, we finna go above and beyond for these people. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, we can definitely utilize this, you know what I'm saying, promote our business. So I'm like, these people bending over backwards. Like, it's to the point where you gotta try to tell them like, okay, I appreciate it. But it's like, you can calm down. Like, you ain't gotta go so hard. And it's like, and they don't accept tips out there either.
They do not. Oh, okay.
Don't like you try to, I'm good. They're turning it down. That's just them just doing their job. You know what I'm saying? They take pride in it. You know what I'm saying? So that was just, it was just crazy to me. I'm like, man, in America, you might get this level, you know what I'm saying? This experience of customer service, depending on where you at, but for the most part, not really. You know what I'm saying? At least people mm-hmm. just really just prideful in their work and, you know what I'm saying, what they do. So that was just crazy. But they were just all nice. China is a very safe place. One of the safest places you can actually live, to be honest. So you ain't got to worry about nothing crazy happening.
Why do you say that? Is it because they patrol? I mean, they have the...
Police don't even have guns. They're that strict.
They do not have guns. Okay, I didn't know that.
Most they got is a little baton. That's it. You know what I'm saying? They hands with it out there. So
Chancellor, tell us about... Let's just take the audience real slow. How was the food there? Let's start. How was the food? What was your favorite dish over there in Beijing?
So we had this, like I said, it was a mall that was across the street. And at the bottom of the mall was this huge supermarket called Aeon. Me and my roommate used to go there. You go there, and it don't matter what day of the week, any day of the week, but you go there around like 7 p.m., 6 to 8 p.m. in the evening. You go to the hot, you know, most grocery stores here in America, they got hot food sections, right? So you go to the hot food section around 6 to 8 p.m., everything is marked down like half price. So, and it, mind you, it's already cheap in China. One U.S. dollar is like 7.5 of theirs. So if it's marked down half, so it's like I was eating good 3 times a day, 4 times a day, less than $5 a day.
That's like, great.
A lot of noodles, really, and I didn't eat a lot of meat while I was out there just because I felt the sanitation wasn't as up to par like we are here in America. So I'm like, I'm good on the meat. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Noodles, vegetables, tofu. You know, that's gonna be my lane.
Got it.
Basically a vegetarian while I was out there. So I was eating a lot of rice, a lot of noodles, vegetables, tofu, fruit, all of that. You know what I'm saying? That whole nine. And the only meats that I did partake in were fish or lamb.
So, okay. Yeah. So you're eating good, enjoying yourself. Were you hanging out with a lot of the other, with U.S. citizens?
Yeah, that's mainly who I'm around for the most part. Like, I really didn't have to use or speak Mandarin unless I'm out in public trying to do something. For the most part, I'm with other people that speak English. So, that's just interesting too, because it's like China, let me ask y'all this. How many people do you know, one, visited China, or two, just lived in China?
Not a lot. I actually do have one friend that I've known for quite a number of years. He's from Cleveland, but he actually went to college and studied the language and learned Chinese, and he knows it fluently. Not sure if he's traveled over there just yet, but yeah, okay. So he's the only one that I can actually say that I know.
And so just from that aspect, that's the vast majority of people here. So the fact that I'm here in China, it's not easy to get over here. But the fact that we're here at this point in time right now says a lot.
Do you speak Chinese?
EDN.
What was your EDN?
EDN, just a little. I knew just enough to move and groove. You know what I'm saying? I definitely didn't want to go over there not doing nothing. I'm like, that's ignorant. You know what I'm saying? But just enough to, you know what I'm saying, maneuver, get what I need, you know what I'm saying? Just the basic. As far as having a full in-depth conversation like we having right now, no, it's not happening.
Okay.
Just enough moving groove for sure.
Okay. So let me ask you this before we go to break, and then we'll get your response on the other side, because you're selling this, and your story is selling very well on Amazon. You're the number one bookseller on Amazon right now. So people are buying it. People love it. They love the story. And I guess when we come back from break, I want you to help us understand, number one, what prompted you to write the story, and then take us through your experience there over there in Beijing and everything. What prompted you to write and actually put it in writing? Because everyone that experiences has a bad experience they don't write about. You know,
yeah.
Unless it's pretty traumatic or something that they feel can help others. So, so we're going to have you talk about that on the break. Be sure, if you've got a question for Chancellor K. Jackson, I've got him here today live on Talkback Live, and he'll be happy to answer your questions, take your comments, and we'll see you on the other side. Stay tuned.
asking. Give me just a little bit.
Welcome back to Talk Back Live. I have a very special guest with us today, Chancellor Kay Jackson from the ATL. And he's going to talk today about, he's going to tell us a little bit more about his book, 14 Days in Beijing, which, by the way, is a big seller on Amazon. I recommend that you go and pick it up or go to Amazon online, purchase it. If you have Kindle, you can pay, you can check it out on Kindle. And it's a good read. Also, it looks like we've had some responses in our chat room. I want to thank Jennifer Ayers-Moore for responding and letting us know that the weather in the ATL is good. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And also looks like we had a comment from Malcolm Evans in Virginia, and his questions about the restaurant. I think Malcolm's referring to when we're talking about what type of dish did you like over there in Beijing, and what did you enjoy most? And so the restaurant, do you remember the name of it?
I have two that comes to mind immediately. One is called Malatong. I think it's somewhere, Malatong. So it's somewhere in the Dongjimin area. I think both restaurants are in Dongjimin area. Malatong, so pretty much you walk in and there's a wall, literally a big wall. It's two walls immediately to your left, and then, you know what I'm saying, in front of you. The first wall is full of meats, different meats that you can choose from, seafood, pork, chicken, beef, different variations of those meats. And then you continue to move forward. Okay, now it's nothing but vegetables. All different types of vegetables, you know what I'm saying, that you can choose from. So you grab your basket, you pick every ingredient you want, whatever meat you want, whatever vegetable you want, tofu, whatever. And then you take it to the cash register, and they calculate everything that you grab and give you a price. You're probably going to spend maybe like, for real, probably like, like $3, $3 US dollars, you know what I'm saying? $3-4 US dollars. And then they'll take your basket, go in the back with it, prepare it for you. And when it comes out, it's in this big, big bowl of soup.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The best part about this restaurant is the sauce that they give you to dip the food in.
Good, huh? Okay. All right. Well, that's great. Let us go ahead and get into this novel that you've written, 14 Days in Beijing. Tell us what prompted you to write the book.
So after I got back to America, I knew that I wanted to do something with the story and the experience, especially being incarcerated, because it's like being locked up abroad, that's something taboo. You know what I'm saying, amongst most people, you know what I'm saying? It's common, but it's still taboo. Like, you hear about it, but it's like, they actually know somebody that actually went through it. It's like, oh, it's a rare commodity right there. Like, that's not very common. So I knew I wanted to do something with the story. I just had no clue what. And one day I was with a tribal member, and we was just powwowing. And he was a published author before we graduated high school in 2014. And you know, so he was like, hey, bro, you should write a book on it. I'm like, that's a good idea. I'm like, that's a good idea. I could write a book about it. How to go about doing that? I have no clue, but I'm like, definitely writing a book would be a great, great, great way to, you know what I'm saying, showcase the story. So he assisted me and gave me a little small outline, just 5 layers. He put it in my notes on my phone, right then and there. And I just took it and I started filling it in. And I'm like, okay, I'm really, really writing. So I'm like, let me move it from my notes and my phone and move it to a Google Doc. And started writing it on, finished writing it on the computer. And it took me about, so after writing, completing the story in 4 months was the editing process. So the editing process alone was like 8 months. You know what I'm saying? Just fine tuning it, getting a cover and title and book description. Like, you know what I'm saying? All those small details that come to play when it comes to creating a novel.
Right, sure.
Yeah, so. But as far as just writing a book, it only took me 4 months to do. That was it. Because I'm just telling the story. Something that really, really happened. That's like me sitting here telling y'all the whole story verbally right now. You know what I'm saying? That's all mm-hmm. I do. But put it on paper.
Okay. So let's tell us a story. What actually happened?
All right. So it's April 4th, 2019. It's a Thursday, which is one of my days off. I'm planning on attending an event later in the afternoon, a fan painting event. It's a team builder event that my company, they host team builder events every month, just random things. This one just so happened to be a fan paint. You know, Chinese fans have, we decorate and customize our own. So I'm like, I bet I'm gonna slide to the event. I'm planning on meeting coworkers and friends there. It's gonna be lit, you know what I'm saying? And Nipsey Hussle had just died around the time. So I was going to designate my whole fan to him. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a whole Nipsey Hussle marathon. You know what I'm saying? Fan. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just representation of him and his journey. So I go through my typical morning preparations. Before I'm like, shit, I'm a pregame before it's time to slide. Now, those that don't know what pregaming is, so that's before you and a group of friends go out on a night full of festivities, y'all like, hey, we're gonna turn up at the house first, or somebody house. We're gonna go to somebody house, we're gonna meet up at somebody house, we're gonna turn up there first, and then we're gonna go out. And you know what I'm saying, get really active with what we have planned. So I'm pregame at the house, I'm drinking some Chinese liquor, smoking some cannabis out of my little silver pipe, and I get finished, I'm cross-faded, I'm good, you know what I'm saying? I'm ready to go, I'm ready to slide now. So I make sure I got everything, you know what I'm saying? Getting myself together. And in the midst of me doing that, I hear a knock at the door. Now, guests aren't unfamiliar. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm just curious to see, like, who don't pop up on me? Look through the people, it's 3 officers from the Beijing police. Right then and there. It's like my heart and my spirit just sunk into my stomach. I'm like, oh shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're like, what they doing here?
What do they say when they do, they announce themselves, you know, knock knock, Beijing constable? Nah, or
they just knocking on the door, just knocking on the door.
You they never announce who they are.
I mean, because it's like we in China. So it's like they could, but it's like if they more
it was in Chinese. It was in Chinese.
More than likely they don't, you said. So it's like I definitely wouldn't know what they were saying anyway. So I scrambled, put everything up, opened the door, and immediately at that open the door, they walk straight in, all 3 of them. And they in a triangle like this here, you know what I'm saying? So the one in front, he's speaking to me, and it's clear that I have no clue what he's saying. It's written on my face, like, but I don't know what you're talking about. So once he realizes that, he pulls out his phone, he speaks into it through the translator app. He shows me the translation. I'm reading it. Are you on drugs? What? Nah, bro, you tripping, bro. Nah, bro, you tweaking. Nah, bro. Nah, just lying. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I'm playing the fool. He's speaking to the app again. Da-da-da-da-da. Show me the translation. Are there any drugs in the house? Bruh, where are you getting this information from? You ain't even say hello. Like, nah, bro, you tripping. Nah. Passport? Yeah, but you need some passport, bro, because clearly there's a fusion going on. So let me go grab my passport real quick. So I go to my room, I grab my passport, visa, apartment contract. I grab every documentation that they could possibly need, you know what I'm saying, just to verify who I am and why I'm here, just to, you know, I'm like, just to finesse the situation. Like, y'all play the fool. Like, y'all got me confused with somebody else. So I present the documents to the officer. He's sitting there looking over it. The other two officers, they're just walking around the apartment, just scanning it gently. You know what I'm saying? They ain't really looking through nothing. They just got wandering eyes. They scoping the place out for sure. So time's passing. They tell me, sit down. So I sit down at my dining room table, and I'm just thinking, okay, what's next? What I'm going to do next? How am I going to finesse this situation? How am I going to get myself out of this? And in the course of me just, you know what I'm saying, reflecting, and hear footsteps coming from down the hall. Because mind you, they never closed the front door. The front door's still wide open.
Okay. So I'm just, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Chancellor. I just want you to just fast forward a little bit for us because their time's kind of winding down. You end up, they take you down, they take you in, they go through all of the preliminary stuff, right? They book you. And so consequently, you're there for 14 long days. Do they find any evidence on you in the house, in the where you were living?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They confiscate my, the flower that I did have on me. And I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't know how much I had at that point in time until we get to the second precinct, and that's where they weigh up the cannabis in front of me. And it was totally
okay. Okay, so this was 2019. Was cannabis legal there or no? Illegal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not.
Okay. Okay. So they book you. You spend 14 days. You did, and I'm sure the story was traumatic. I mean, it would be traumatic for anyone, right? Okay. No hard drugs. Cannabis. Okay. Even though it's not legal. So basically, did they treat you in a humane way? Was there something different that they do in the States that traumatized you to brought you enough to write about it or what?
One thing that made my story stand out from others was that I didn't receive any bit of information about what was going to happen to me, what my process was going to be like, how long I was going to be, you know what I'm saying, locked up for. That's the only difference. Like, you read the story, it's like, everybody, okay, yeah, I got 10 days. I got this amount of days. Oh, yeah, they told me this. They told me that. I'm just
right. Yeah.
Well, they arrested me and just had me following. And you know what I'm saying? Only thing they was telling me or communicating to me was about where I got the weed from. That's the only thing they wanted to know. Aside from that, only thing they tell me to do is sign here. Sign this document, thumbprint this document. That's it. So,
okay, let me ask you this.
Where are you? Let
me ask you this, because we're gonna wrap up the show, unfortunately. Maybe we'll have you on again and kind of do a part two on this. Were you allowed to have visitors?
Oh, no. I was locked up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 15 people to one cell, 9 wooden beds. And all I had for 14 days straight was one plastic bowl and one plastic spoon. That was it.
Wow. So that was that's tough. That's tough. And were you allowed to receive phone calls or make phone calls?
I was locked up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
No calls or anything, no outside calls. How did you make contact with your family and friends in America?
It wasn't until the 7th day, which is chapter 7, when they gather all the foreigners in the jail, they take us downstairs and we meet with the immigration. And pretty much his job is to see who can buy us a ticket once our sentence is up. So that's when they gave us our phones, just pretty much to find somebody to buy us a ticket. But I'm using the time to, I'm making contact. Like, y'all had me in here for the whole week. Y'all ain't told me nothing. So I'm utilizing the time to make contact with folks back home.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's a traumatic experience. It would be for anyone. So, but yeah, we've got to have you back on to do maybe a part two of this because, you know, we're only live for 30 minutes. That's really not a lot of time to go over your story. So your sentence was, just so we're clear to take audience out, you were there 14 days. Was that your sentence? 14 days?
I don't know what my sentence was.
You never knew. Okay.
Reading story, I meet with the warden, and that's where you go over that, all of that, your sentence, how long you're going to be there. But like I said, no, the entire time, nobody told me anything.
So you were released after how many days?
After 14.
So after the 14, okay.
I'm just counting the days. Like I said, I'm just here to tell y'all. I know I did 14 days.
Okay.
Of course, as you read it, you have no clue. You're sitting. You have no clue.
Right. I know you were happy to get to be released and to come back home. And did you immediately fly out of, did you immediately get back to the States after this?
As soon as I was released, they took me straight to my apartment to pack up the rest of my stuff.
And yeah.
Right after that, they deported
and
me.
You had it. You had it. Yeah, I would do the same. You headed back home. Well, listen, I want to thank you, Chancellor Kay Jackson, for appearing on Talk Back Live as my special guest today. And we'll have you back. We'll do a part two on this because 30 minutes is really not a lot of time to go into to your success. I am happy to report your book is selling. It's very successful, and I encourage each and every listener out there and viewer out there, pick up his book. You can go to Amazon.com, pick it up. If you use Kindle, you could purchase it through Kindle and check it out. It's not a long, it's a pretty much a short story, but it's very informative. So I highly encourage our viewers out there to pick up 14 Days in Beijing. Also, we want you to go to our YouTube page, Talk Back Live with Gloria. Please like and subscribe. And please share Talk Back Live out there all over the internet with all of your family and friends. Stay tuned. We've got an exciting show coming up for you yet again. We're going to have none other than George C. Frazier on our next show. He's coming up, and that'll be October 23rd. I am so excited about that show. I can't even tell you. And we've got to be ready for him. So stay tuned to Talk Back Live. And also, thanks for those that participated in the chat today. Thanks for your questions and comments. Appreciate that. And stay tuned because we're going to have some good shows coming up. Again, thank you, Chancellor Kay Jackson. And please enjoy your success. Do you plan before you go? Do you plan to write anything else? Will that be your first and last book or any other plans?
I got some romance novels coming soon. So.
Okay, great. I'm glad I asked you that. So check him out on Amazon. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Thank you for tuning in today to Talk Back Live. Thank you, Keith, my producer. Appreciate your patience. We're running a little over today, but thank you, Keith. Appreciate that.
Hold tight. Before we get out of here, I just have a quick question for him on my personal end. Years ago, there was a very famous movie called Midnight Express where a gentleman was in your same situation and they made a movie. It was a huge movie, huge cult hit. Has there been any interest of a film of this? Because yes. I think that's the question that kind of needs to be asked because I'm going back to Midnight Express with John Voight. That was a humongous movie.
It's a big hit.
The audience and readers is like, hey, bro, like, I can see this, like, as you're reading it. And I wrote it like a script, too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, bro, I can see this being on the movie. I can see this being, a documentary, a TV show series, something. It's like, of course, that's the end goal. Like, I definitely want to get this on the big screen. I want to make multiple projects, not just a book, audio book. I want to do animes, comic books, movies. I want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Just, I don't want to neglect no market.
Well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't do that. You've got off to a great start, and you should continue it and market it and, you know, take it everywhere. Take the news, the story out there everywhere for everybody. So you're doing a good job. You've got off to a great start. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Thanks for appearing with us. And thank you for tuning in to Talk Back Live. Until next time, America.
That's a wrap. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Be sure and go to our Facebook page, TalkBack, a thought-provoking talk format. That's TalkBack, a thought-provoking talk format. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think of TalkBack. It can only make us better. Be sure to check us out on Spotify. Also, Twitter, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. Again, thank you for listening. Until next time, America.
You have been listening to Talk Back with My Grandma on Spotify. Be sure and catch her every weekend. Oh, and by the way, my name is Kari. Bye.